This is Pastor Bill Woods, and I just wanted to tell you about some simple directions that God has laid out for us that we are to follow, and if we follow, God will give us victory. They're quite simple, and I want to read from Deuteronomy chapter 30, verses 11 through 19, especially verses 15 through 18, and I'm reading from the New Living Translation. Says, this command I am giving you today is not too difficult for you. It is not beyond your reach. It is not kept in heaven, so distant that you must ask who will go to heaven and bring it down so we can hear it and obey. It is not kept beyond the sea, so far away that you must ask who will cross the sea to bring it to us so we can hear it and obey. No, the message is very close at hand. It is on your lips and in your heart so that you can obey it. Now listen, he says, today I am giving you a choice between life and death, between prosperity and disaster, for I command you this day to love the Lord your God and to keep his commands, decrees, and regulations by walking in his ways. If you do this, you will live and multiply, and the Lord your God will bless you in the land you are about to enter and occupy. But if your heart turns away and you refuse to listen, and if you are drawn away to serve and worship other gods, then I warn you now that you'll certainly be destroyed. You'll not live a long good life in the land you are crossing the Jordan to occupy. Today I've given you the choice between life and death, between blessings and curses. Now I call on heaven and earth to witness the choice you make. Oh, that you would choose life so that you and your descendants might live. You know, it's hard to imagine what we do or don't do has life or death consequences because we've lost sight of the holiness of God. From Old Testament times until now, God has not changed. He says, I am the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's still holy, and the line is drawn in the sand. The difference is the conditions. Instead of living and dying by the law as they had to in the Old Testament, we have a different option in the New Testament days. God has provided a sacrifice for guilt of not living up to his laws. To accept God's provision is to choose life. To reject it is to be eternally damned in hell. So, if you accept his plan of salvation, you will spend eternity in heaven with a loving God. The choice is yours. On which side of the line will you take your stand? God continues his instructions and warnings. It says in Deuteronomy 17 and 18, but if your heart turns away and you refuse to listen, and if you are drawn away to serve and worship other gods, then I warn you now that you will certainly be destroyed. You will not live a long good life in the land you're crossing the Jordan to occupy. Really, it's very clear what God is saying, and I can break it down to three words. If, but, then. You get to choose. One of the saddest examples is of this happening is in the Bible. Solomon had everything going for him as he began his reign in Israel. God gave him wisdom, wealth, and blessed him in every way imaginable. God told Solomon to be faithful and walk according to God's will. Solomon took his eyes off of God and got onto women and material possessions. In fact, Bible says he had 700 wives and 300 concubines. And for the wisest man in the world, I would like to say, how wise was that? His wives influenced him with idolatry. He built idols for them and eventually worshiped the idols himself. I can't imagine after the wonderful blessings God gave him and God gave him instructions why he would go that way, but his heart turned away from God. There is no record that he ever repented, and he probably ended up in hell. Solomon forgot the but clause in the covenant with God, but God did not forget the agreement he made with Solomon. God would prosper Solomon and Israel, but if they forgot God, God would destroy them. Second Chronicles 7:17 through 22 says, "As for you, if you faithfully follow me as David your father did, obeying all my commands, decrees, and regulations, then I will establish the throne of your dynasty. For I made this covenant with your father David when I said, one of your descendants will always rule over Israel. But if you or your descendants abandon me and disobey the decrees and commands I have given you, and if you serve and worship other gods, then I will uproot the people from this land that I have given them. I will reject this temple that I have made holy to honor my name. I will make it an object of mockery and ridicule among the nations. And though this temple is impressive now, all who pass by will be appalled, and they will ask, why did the Lord do such terrible things to this land and to this temple? And the answer will be, because his people abandoned the Lord, the God of their ancestors who brought them out of Egypt, and they worshiped other gods instead and bowed down to them. That is why he has brought all these disasters on them." God had warned Solomon and the people. There was no excuse for them to fail here, because God had told them what the rules were and what the consequences would be. In Deuteronomy 30:18 through 20, it says, "Then I will warn you, you'll certainly be destroyed. You'll not live a long good life in the land you're crossing the Jordan to occupy." Listen, same thing is happening in the United States today. We no longer honor God, and God is allowing us to be destroyed. You have no idea how fast it's all happening. It's kind of like when I was growing up, my sister had a slide that my folks had given her for her birthday. One of these things that you get up on top of and slide down, you know. And if it got where it was, the chute that you went down was too dull and you couldn't slide, you'd go get wax paper and you'd sit on the wax paper and slide down, and whoosh, you would really make it go fast then. Who would have ever imagined issues in the United States election would be for the right to murder our babies in the womb, recognize same-sex marriages, declare a gender contrary to the one you were born with, promote mutilation surgeries to change genders, integrated public restrooms, men and women's sports, sharing locker rooms and showers, and on, gay marriage? If you haven't voted yet, please consider each party's platform and vote for the one that comes closest to decent Christian values. I know that neither party is totally committed to God, but there is one that has more values that we can endorse than the other one. Some people will say, well, I can't vote for either party because both candidates have shady pasts. We're not voting for a pastor. We are voting for a president, and hopefully one who will reestablish moral values. Remember Psalm 9:17 says, "The wicked will go down to the grave. This is the fate of all the nations who ignore God." God not only works this way with nations, he works this way with individuals. Someone will say, well, I'm not against God. I haven't taken a stand either way. E. Stanley Jones said, "If you don't make up your mind, your unmade mind will unmake you." People are so interested in what the world has to offer that they have very little interest in what God has to offer. God offers the real bargain. Thomas A. Kempis said, "For a little reward, men make a long journey. For eternal life, many will scarce lift a foot once upon the ground." God warned us to love and obey his will, but if we ignore his warning, then we can expect him to allow us to be destroyed. And it's our choice. Deuteronomy 30:19-20 says, "Today I've offered you the choice between life and death, between blessings and curses. I call on heaven and make to witness the choice you make. I call on heaven and earth to witness the choice you make. Oh, that you would choose life, that you and your descendants might live. Choose to love the Lord your God and obey him and commit yourselves to him, for he is your life. Then you'll live long in the land that the Lord swore to give your ancestors, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And the same thing applies to the United States. God has given this wonderful nation, and we have started out so well using all the principles and rules of God found in Leviticus and Deuteronomy. And now I'm so sorry that the United States of America has chosen to walk away from God. When Obama was president, he proclaimed, "We are no longer a Christian nation." He promoted and allowed Islam to overtake us. He did promise change, and that was the change he promised, I guess. Biden has been too wishy-washy to lead us back to God. Kamala is promising a new way forward. Strangely enough, that is a slogan the communists have used for years. Her new way forward does not seem to include honoring God and religion. I want my daughters and my grandchildren, my great-grandchildren, to have the same blessings I have enjoyed throughout my lifetime, but the climate is changing. Our nation as we have known it will never be the same again. We are no longer, choosing life and blessings. Deuteronomy 30:15, now listen. Today I'm giving you the choice between life and death, between prosperity and disaster. Our cherished values and convictions no longer exist. Our heritage has been forgotten. If you'd go back and study all the miracles, all the things God did to establish the United States of America, and then compare that today, you would be appalled to think how far we've drifted away from God. Things that made the United States great no longer seem to matter. Deuteronomy 30:17 through 18, the first part. But if your heart turns away and you refuse to listen, if you are drawn away to serve and worship other gods, then I warn you now that you will certainly be destroyed. I'm not trying to sound negative. I'm just facing reality. God has warned us. He said, if, but, and then, if we would serve him, he would bless us, but if we don't, then there are consequences. Most young people don't even know or understand the heritage of our nation. What's worse is people have forgotten God too. Daddies and mommies and grandparents have forgotten God, and our kids are going to pay the price. If we don't get back to Jesus, the Son of God, we're going to lose everything. A wealthy man and his son loved to collect rare works of art. They had everything in their collection, from Picasso to Raphael. They would often sit together and admire great works of art. When the Vietnam conflict broke out, the son went to war. He was very courageous, and he died in battle while rescuing another soldier. The father was notified, and he grieved deeply for his only son. About a month later, just before Christmas, there was a knock at the door. A young man stood at the door with a large package. He said, "Sir, you don't know me, but I'm a soldier that your son gave his life to save. He saved many lives that day, and he was carrying me to safety when a bullet struck him in the heart, and he died instantly. He often talked about you and your love for art." The young man held out his package. "I know this isn't much, and I'm not really a great artist, but I think your son would have wanted you to have this." And the father opened the package. It was a portrait of his son painted by this young man. He stared in awe at how the soldier had captured the personality of his son in this painting. The father was so drawn to the eyes that his own eyes welled up with tears. He thanked the young man and offered to pay him for the picture. "Oh no, sir, I could never repay what your son did for me. It's a gift." The father hung the portrait over his mantle. Every time visitors came, he took them to see the portrait of his son before he would show them any of the great artworks that he had collected. The man died a few months later. There was to be a great auction of his paintings. Many influential people gathered, excited to see the great paintings and have an opportunity to purchase one for their collections. The painting of the son sat on the platform. The auctioneer pounded his gavel. "We will start the bidding with this picture of the son. Who will bid for this picture? Well, there was silence. Then a voice in the back of the room shouted, "We want to see the famous painting. Skip this one." But the auctioneer persisted. "Will someone bid for this painting? Who will start the bidding? $100? $200? Another voice shouted angrily, "We didn't come to see this painting. We came to see Van Gogh's and Rembrandt's. Get on with the real bids." Still the auctioneer continued, The sun, who'll take the sun? Finally, a voice came from the very back of the room. It was a longtime gardener of the man and his son. "I'll give $10 for the painting." Being a poor man, it was all he could afford. "We have $10, and who will bid 20? "Give it to him for $10. Let's see the masters." $10 is the bid. Won't someone bid 20? The crowd was getting angry. They didn't want the picture of the sun. They wanted the more worthy investments for their collections. The auctioneer pounded the gavel, going once, going twice, sold for $10. A man sitting in the second row shouted, "Now let's get on with the collection." The auctioneer laid down his gavel. "I'm sorry, the auction is over." "Well, what about the paintings?" "I'm sorry, when I was called to conduct this auction, I was told of a secret stipulation in the will. I wasn't allowed to reveal that stipulation until now. Only the painting of the sun would be auctioned. Whoever bought that painting would inherit the entire estate, including the paintings. The man who took the sun gets everything. God gave his son 2,000 years ago to die on a cruel cross. Much like the auctioneer, his message today is the sun. The sun, who'll take the sun? Because whoever takes the sun gets everything. If you've forgotten God, there's still time to come back to him. God is the only hope this nation has to survive. Tim Bowden, in his book One Crowded Hour, told about a cameraman, Neil Davis, and an incident that happened in Borneo during the conflict between Malaysia and Indonesia in 1964. I realize I've used this illustration before, but it's one that I really enjoy. Said a group of Gurkhas from Nepal were asked if they'd be willing to jump from the transport planes into combat against the Indonesians if need arose. The Gurkhas could turn down and request because this request because they'd been trained, had not been trained, as paratroopers. Bowden quotes Davis' account of the story. The Gurkhas usually agreed to anything, but this time they provisionally rejected the plan. The next day, one of the Gurkha NCOs came to the British officer who made the request and said they had discussed the matter further and would be willing to jump under certain conditions. "What conditions?" asked the British officer. The Gurkha said they'd jump if the land was marshy or reasonably soft with no rocky outcrops, because they were inexperienced in falling. The British officer considered this and said the dropping areas would almost certainly be over jungle and there'd not be rocky outcrops, so that seemed all right. Was there anything else? "Yes," said the Gurkhas, "they wanted the plane to fly as slowly as possible, no more than 100 feet high." The British officer said the planes always flew as slowly as possible when dropping troops, but to jump from 100 feet was impossible because the parachutes wouldn't open in time from that height. "Oh," said the Gurkha, "that's all right then. We'll jump with parachutes anywhere. You didn't mention parachutes before." You know, God and any church could use such Gurkha-like commitment and courage. If we could find that kind of courage, we could turn souls back to God and have a church on fire for Jesus Christ. Listen again to Deuteronomy 30, 15 through 18. It says, "Now listen, today I'm giving you a choice between prosperity and disaster, between life and death. I have commanded you today to love the Lord your God and to keep his commands, laws, and regulations by walking in his ways. If you do this, you will live and become a great nation, and the Lord your God will bless you and the land you are about to enter and occupy. But if your heart turns away and you refuse to listen, and if you are drawn away to serve and worship other gods, then I warn you now that you will certainly be destroyed. You will not live a long good life in the land you're crossing the Jordan to occupy. Did you hear it? If, but, then. Deuteronomy 30, 19 through 20 says, I've given you the choice between life and death. Oh, that you would choose life and you and your descendants might live. Choose to love the Lord your God and to obey him and commit yourself to him, for he is your life. Then you will live long in the land the Lord swore to give your ancestors, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. If, but, and then you choose. My prayer is, United States of America, wake up. Think about what God said in 2 Chronicles 7:14. If my people that are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and confess their sins, turn from their wicked way, then I will hear from heaven and I will heal their land. We need to be healed. And by the way, be praying about your vote if you haven't voted yet, because we very much could reap the if, but, then in a negative way if we don't turn back to God and if we don't elect those that will help us to have good moral lives. Father, I thank you so much for the blessings that you give to us. I would just ask, Jesus, that you'll speak to each one of our hearts. If there's work that needs to be done in our spiritual lives, I would pray, God, that we would pray and confess our sins to you and accept you as our Savior. And Lord, the if, but, then, we want to have the then. I will bless you. I will help your land, and I will help you to be all that God wants you to be. Lord, have your way in our lives today. Be with that one that's listening that doesn't know you. Help them to realize what an important decision that is to make while there's still time. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, again, you can get in contact with me if you wanted to write a letter to Box 4031, Sun Valley, Arizona, 86029. Or if you wanted to call me at my phone number, 623-845-2741. Or like a lot of people do, you could text me at that 623-845-2741 number. I'm praying for you. I would invite you tomorrow to come to the First Baptist Church here in Holbrook, Arizona, at the corner of First Avenue and Buffalo. I will be preaching tomorrow on who in hell is Satan. And I think it's something we need to know as Halloween is coming close, that we need to pay attention and know where we as Christians fit into the whole picture. God bless you. We'll talk to you later. Amen.